Well, Merry Christmas. We welcome you to our Christmas Eve communion service. So glad that you're here. And let me just say a special welcome if you're our guest this morning. We're so glad you've come to be with us. Know that our prayer is that you'll enjoy your time of worship with us. And we welcome you to come again if your circumstances allow. Also, if you're our guest, we invite you to drop by our Connection Center out in the lobby after the service. There are volunteers there who would love to meet you, answer any questions you have. They also have a little gift for you. So if you have a chance, we'd love for you to do that. If you're seated at the end of the row, if you'd start that little black pad down the row, that would be helpful. And if you would note your attendance, those who are our guests, you can just add your name and address so we know who you are if you're comfortable doing that. Or you can scan the QR code that's on the screen or in the bulletin to do that. Just a way for us to shepherd our congregation to make sure nobody falls through the cracks and is sick and we don't know it, that sort of thing. So thank you for your faithfulness to do that. Just a couple of church family updates. We want to rejoice together with Corey and Renee Rodriguez on the birth of a son, Gideon Alexander, who was born on December 9th. And this morning we also want to extend our congratulations as a church to Dave and Karen Henry, who celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary on December 21st. Dave and Karen. Yeah. Also, with this Christmas season, we've made this announcement a number of times, but let me remind you that today and next Sunday, there's no Sunday school for first grade and up, and there will be no evening service tonight or next week. Also, next Sunday, New Year's Eve, there will only be two morning services, the 9:30 service and the 11:05, so make sure you note that. Only two, 9:30 and 11:05 next Sunday. We'll resume the normal schedule the following Sunday. Well, we do gather today on this Christmas Eve to celebrate and remember the gift, as Paul describes the birth of Jesus, God's indescribable gift. And that gift was promised so long ago, promised in Genesis 3, but promised 700 years before by the prophet Isaiah in these words, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." That's the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, whose birth we celebrate today and tomorrow. Let's join together in prayer as we begin our time of worship. Our Father, it is with great joy that we gather today, because in Christ you have given us good news, which produces great joy in the hearts of all who receive him. The news that we celebrate the reality as the angel announced it to the shepherds, "For today there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Lord, we gather today to worship him. Lord, for many of us in this room, we have believed in Jesus as Savior and Lord. We follow him as our teacher and our Lord. Lord, may you fill our hearts with true adoration. Take us, as it were, with the shepherds to the manger and help us to adore him. And Father, for those who may be with us, who maybe acknowledge the historical fact of the birth of Christ, who even believe the essential theological explanation, but have never truly committed themselves to follow him, Lord, may this be the day, the hour, in which you, through the gospel, draw them to yourself. We just entrust this time to you. Receive our worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Let's stand together this morning as we sing.
Now proclaim the sound.
Seated. I've asked Heidi Sears to come and sing for us now, See Amid the Winter Snow. You can find the lyrics there in your bulletin.
Built on lofty skies, He
Beautiful. Thank you, Heidi. Let's stand together once again as we sing. beautiful singing. You may be seated. I've invited Michael Hansen to come and play for us on the flute. Now, I wonder as I wander. Thank you, Michael. Let's stand together once again as we sing.
Stars in the sky.
Stonecipher comes now to sing for us, O Holy Night.
Thrill of hope, the weary. Christ was born. For the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all His holy name. Christ is the Lord. Let ever, ever praise we. No
Well, thank you so much, Blaine. So beautifully done. I invite you to take a copy of God's Word, if you have it with you, and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We have been reading our way through the Christmas story. We started with John chapter 1, which is the birth of Jesus Christ told from the perspective of God Himself from heaven. We read together Matthew chapter 1, which gives us the record of the birth of Christ from the perspective of Joseph. And this morning, I want us to read Luke chapter 2, which is the perspective of the birth of Christ told from the vantage point of Mary. Luke was a historian. He investigated. He begins his gospel by saying that. Undoubtedly, during the 2 years he was with Paul, while Paul was in prison in Caesarea there on the coast of Israel, he interviewed many for whom he gives an account of their story here. And he interviewed undoubtedly Mary, the shepherds, those who still survived. And we have the record of their testimony in this chapter. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. You may be seated. Just for a moment, as we prepare ourselves to take of the Lord's table, I want us to reflect on what we've just read together. If you still have your copy of the Scriptures open, I want us to think for a moment about the birth of Christ as it's recorded here. The first thing that you should note is that his birth is a matter of human history. Luke investigated the details carefully, and he begins this account by connecting the birth of Jesus to specific historical events in the Roman Empire. Jesus is not a legend, he's not a myth. He is a reality of history, a person that you have to deal with, that I have to deal with. You can still visit the place where he was born. It was noted very early after his birth in the writings of many. I've been there. You can go there today and see the place where Jesus was born. But the question is, as we celebrate Christmas today, tomorrow, with our family and friends, how should we respond to the reality of the birth of Jesus Christ? We weren't there to witness the birth personally, but we've received the same unprecedented revelation about his birth here in the record we've just read together. How should we respond? Well, the focus in the last half of this account we've just read is on the shepherd's response. And their response is a divinely intended pattern for our own response. Here's how you and I should respond today and tomorrow as we gather to the Savior's birth. First of all, we should believe in Jesus and the gospel. We should believe in Jesus and the gospel. Look at verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Their response to the angel's message should be our response. First, they believed the message about Jesus was from God, this thing which the Lord has made known to us. They believed the message about Jesus was true. Notice, "Let's hurry to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." And they believed the message about Jesus enough to obey. The angel gave directions as to how to find the child, implying a clear command to go, and they were eager to do what God had said. You see, obedience is always a sign of true saving faith. Verse 16, so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. But don't miss the point of these verses. The main point is that these shepherds believed the good news of the gospel. They believed that Jesus came to save them, that he was their Messiah, that he was their Savior, that he was their God, that he was their Lord. They believed the basic truths of the gospel that are implied in what the angel said to them that day. They believed that there's one true God who made all things and that you and I exist for him. The one true and living God created, sustains all things. He's the reason your heart is beating at this very moment. He's the reason that you have life and he owns you. You belong to him. The psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and all who dwell in it. You belong to God who created you, who gave you life, who gives you every good thing. And that God who has a right over your life has commanded you and me to obey his law perfectly. Sadly, all of us have sinned against God, and the shepherds understood that. All of us have sinned against God and fall short of his glory. All of us, like Adam, have chosen to break God's law. And God calls that sin, that rebellion, sin. And he tells us the just penalty for our sins is physical death and eternal punishment. That, friends, is the dark side of Christmas. Refuse the Savior, and that's the reality. There's no way we can rescue or save ourselves. That's why Christmas is necessary. The shepherds understood that Jesus, the Messiah, came into the world to save sinners. That God so loved the world that he sent his Son to become one of us in order to save us by living the life we were supposed to have lived, the life of obedience to God, and then by dying the death that we were supposed to die, the death we deserved under God's judgment. And then God raised him from the dead on the third day to prove that he had accepted Jesus' life as a payment for sin. Now, by grace, God offers the gift of forgiveness and the gift of a right standing with him solely through the work of Jesus Christ. You can never earn what Jesus provided. It's a gift. But you have to respond God's way. And implied in the message to the shepherds is this very response. You must repent and believe the gospel. It's what Paul said. You must exercise repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel that the shepherds believed and embraced. That is what motivated them that night. And it's the invitation, in fact, I would say the command, that God, your Creator, has of you today. Repent and believe the gospel of my Son. There's a second way we must respond, and that is once we have believed as Christians, now that we're followers of Christ, we must share Jesus and his gospel. Look at verse 17. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. They made known, they declared, they revealed, they explained. Undoubtedly, the shepherds told Mary and Joseph when they arrived at the manger that night. And in the days and years ahead, they told everyone who would listen. Verse 18 says, and all who heard it wondered. They were amazed, astonished at the things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds repeated the good news they had heard and believed to everybody who would listen. That's our responsibility. If you have believed this gospel, this good news, then we need to tell others. There's a third appropriate response to the birth of Christ, and that is we need to meditate on Jesus and the gospel. And Mary illustrates this response. Verse 19, Mary treasured all these things. That is, she treasured them in her memory, pondering them in her heart. Pondering what they meant. She meditated on the truth of who her son really was and what he would accomplish. Mary wanted desperately to understand. And if, like Mary, we have believed the truth of the gospel, then we should continue to faithfully meditate on both the reality of the incarnation and the purpose of it. I challenge you, Christian, today, tomorrow, enjoy your traditions, enjoy the things that make for a rich time with your family, but don't forget Jesus Christ, his incarnation. Meditate on these things. A fourth way we must respond to Jesus' birth is that we must praise God for Jesus and the gospel. Look at verse 20. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. When you truly know and love Jesus, your life will be marked by praise and worship. In the words of Hebrews, you will continually offer up the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of lips giving thanks to his name. You see, on that cold winter night, these shepherds, by the way, these shepherds likely kept the sheep headed to sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. But these shepherds, through sovereign grace, heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and were allowed to witness, think about this, the birth of the perfect Lamb of God. Their response to the birth of the Savior, Christ the Lord, is a model for our own response today and tomorrow as we celebrate his birth and throughout the year. The response that Jesus expects of you from the birth of his son is the same response of the shepherds. He expects you to believe in Jesus and the gospel. He expects you, once you have come to believe in him, to share the news about Jesus and the gospel and to meditate on, to think about the reality of Jesus and the gospel and to praise God for Jesus and the gospel. Now look at that list. That list explains why there's no better way for us to remember our Lord's birth than communion. Because when we take of the Lord's table, it is a personal confession of Jesus in the gospel. It's called the Lord's Supper. That is, it's only for those who confess Jesus as Savior and Lord, like the shepherds did. It's a proclamation of Jesus in the gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, you preach the Lord's birth. This morning, this is a visual sermon about Jesus Christ. And it's a commemoration. It's a meditation on Jesus in the gospel. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We reflect on, we meditate on, we think about who he is and what he accomplished. And it is an exaltation of Jesus and his gospel. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Of me. You see, the Lord's table not only reminds us that he came into the world, but why he came. Take a moment now and prepare your heart. Confess your sin. Thank God for his son as the men come to serve us. Our Father, we thank you that by this, your love was manifested among us, that you sent your only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Lord, we thank you for what we celebrate in this Christmas season. We thank you for the historical reality of it, that it's not a legend, a myth, but it's an event of history. And Father, we thank you as well for the great theological realities that lie behind it. Lord, thank you that for many of us who have gathered here this morning, you have brought us like the shepherds to believe the message of the gospel as they did, to embrace it. You've brought us to the place of the end of ourselves where we acknowledged our hopelessness, our sinfulness, our certain future under your judgment. Father, you brought us then to see the beauty of Jesus Christ and of life lived following him. And you gave us repentance and faith, which we responded to him. And Lord, for us, this season is a wonderful reality because we celebrate him. But Father, I pray for those who are with us this morning who perhaps have heard this basic gospel message dozens, maybe hundreds of times. Maybe they believe the historical reality, Father. Maybe they believe even the theological meaning of it. But they have personally never repented of their sins and put their own faith in your Son. Lord, I pray that this morning you would do what only you can do. Lord, they are dead, hopeless, cannot respond unless you give them the power and capacity to do so. And I pray this morning you would draw them to yourself through the basic gospel they've heard. Lord, may they come to truly adore Jesus on this weekend when we celebrate his birth. But Father, for the rest of us, as we come to remember him in the Lord's table, I pray that you would help us to come with clean hands and pure hearts. Lord, don't let us who profess Christ hold on to some sin in our lives as we celebrate the one who came to save us from our sins. Father, help us to gladly, willingly confess our sin to you individually, personally, privately now, and to seek not only forgiveness, but a new resolve to walk in obedience to Christ, our Savior and Lord. And Father, as we take of the Lord's table, as it were, bring us with the shepherds to the manger. May we come to truly adore him. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. As the men pass the bread, let's sing together about the reality of the incarnation.
Together lovely, all together worthy, all together.
Our Lord gave this ordinance to his followers. If you have repented of your sins, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, if he is your Savior and Lord, then this is for you. In fact, this is a confession. By eating the bread and drinking the cup, you are confessing that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. Like the shepherds, you're saying, the one whose birth we celebrate is my Messiah. He is my Savior. He is my God. He is my Lord. The bread that you hold in your hand, our Lord explained this way. The Apostle Paul writes, when our Lord had given thanks for the bread, he broke it and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you." One of the ancient manuscripts reads, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." If that is your confession, that he is your Messiah, your God, your Lord, your King, then let's remember him together. Our Father, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for the reminder that our Lord became just like us. We thank you that your eternal Son, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, that he took upon himself full and complete humanity, that he entered the womb of the Virgin Mary and 9 months later was born of a virgin, entered this world fully God, but having added full and complete humanity. He was everything that we are except for sin. Lord, we thank you that he then lived a perfect life of obedience to you, the life we were supposed to have lived, the life you commanded of us, but none of us have. He did. Lord, we thank you that having earned the right by his perfect life to stand in our place, to be our substitute, he then died under your judgment for all who would believe in him. Lord, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he was born as the Lamb of God, come to take away the sin of the world. We love you. Lord Jesus, thank you for your willingness to come, to step out of the light of heaven and eternity into the darkness of this world for us. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As the men pass the cup, let's continue to sing together.
Brought me life, I know.
That cup that you hold in your hand was also separated for this purpose by our Lord. The Apostle Paul reminds us that he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." The gospel records tell us that he added these words, "This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of many." In other words, he was to lay down his life in the place of those who would believe in him to purchase our forgiveness. You know, it's so appropriate that there were shepherds gathered for the birth of Christ that night, because those shepherds got to witness the birth of the perfect Lamb of God, the one who would pour out his life in the place of, as a substitute for all who would believe in him, so that God could be just and still forgive our sins. If that's your confession, then let's remember him together. Our Father, we thank you for the cup. We thank you for the reality that our Lord came. We thank you for the fact that we can celebrate his birth. But Father, we thank you even more for the meaning of his birth, for the reason for his birth, the fact that he came to lay down his life as a propitiation, a satisfaction of your justice for our sins, so that you could be a just judge and still forgive our sins. Thank you, O God, for the gospel that was preached to the shepherds, the gospel that many of us here have truly believed. And Father, I pray for those who've gathered who have not, even if they have believed the historical reality, even if they believe the theological significance, but have never truly come to the place of genuine repentance and faith in your Son. May they cry out to you even today, Lord, knowing that you have never turned a repentant sinner away. May they be able to celebrate Christmas this year truly knowing that today there has been born for them a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Lord, we pray that you would do this work for the glory of your name and because your Son deserves the reward of his suffering. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, I hope this Christmas season you will remember to think about and meditate on why he came. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you really have never come to know him, you still bear the guilt of your own sins, you can know God, your Creator, today through Christ, his Son. We would love to show you. We'd love to point you in that direction. Our prayer room will be open after the service, just to my right before that exit door. There's a room that's marked. After we sing together, you come. Maybe you have some other need. Whatever it is, we'd love to help you. You come and give us that opportunity. Seth's going to come and lead us in a closing song, which has become a tradition for our Christmas Eve services because it's a song that reminds us of why he came. Let's sing it together. There is a Redeemer.
Let's stand together. Lamb of God, Messiah, oh. Dismissed.